It never works out, never works out. But anyway, let's just pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. What a wonderful opportunity this morning to come together like this to praise and to worship you and just to enjoy being in your presence. Lord, thank you for that truth that we don't need to be afraid. And Lord, for the person that that might be speaking to particularly, help them to see, Lord God, that it's your heart to deliver them from that fear, Lord God, please, in the name of Jesus. And thank you for the word that you spoke to Rita to encourage her, Lord God, and to strengthen and build her up, Lord God, and yet a word that applies to us all. You are a good God. You are a faithful God, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, we ask again that you would speak to us through it, Lord God. I don't want people leaving here thinking, oh, that was a good message, or that was a desperate message. I want people leaving here thinking about Jesus and what Jesus has spoken to them this morning, what he has said for them this morning, Lord, please. So, Father, I just ask you, please, give us ears to hear what your Spirit says to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was saying last week on this, looking at the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, within a few years of establishing the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul actually had to write to counter false teaching, which was already infiltrating the church, saying there is no resurrection from the dead. Now, you're talking here within 3 to 5 years of him establishing this church, this false teaching. This was the Apostle Paul. This was one of the top guys in the early church, who had preached the simple gospel message, and the people had heard it, believed it, and yet within 3 to 5 years, false teaching, saying there was no resurrection from the dead, was beginning to infiltrate the church. And he was reminding the Christians in Corinth of the gospel message that he preached and which they believed. And it was this: Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what I want to do here this morning is, as I go through this, try to help you to see that you are, in a sense, an evangelist. You can share this simple gospel message with anyone. It doesn't mean getting up to the front. It doesn't mean getting up into big platforms and preaching, and I wish that you would. But you can say these things and share these things with individuals over a cup of tea or coffee. And this was Paul's simple gospel message. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died for our sins according to the scripture. God had this planned. He was buried. His dead body laid in the tomb. 3 days later, his dead body was brought back to life, raised from the dead, and he was seen alive by many witnesses. Therefore, there is salvation for whosoever will confess their sin, repent, and trust in Jesus. That's the simple gospel. If you just took those alone and stuck to those as you were talking to people, you would be evangelizing the true gospel of the Bible. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a fundamental truth and is essential for salvation. It's essential, and you'll see why. It's essential for salvation. Abandon this or any of these truths. Now, let me just see again. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's just say we'll get rid of that. Well, who did then? If we get rid of Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, what are we left with? Or if we say Jesus came into the world, but we rule out to save sinners, what have we got? There's no gospel message. If we take away he died for our sins, what did he come into the world for, and what was the purpose of his death? If we take away that he was buried and his dead body rose again, his dead body was laid in the tomb, if we take that away, what we have is a Jesus who continues to live somewhere in the earth, and probably like the fable of the Apostle John hiding in some cave somewhere still alive. Then we got 3 days later, his dead body was brought back to life and raised from the dead. If we take that away, we've got nothing in our Christian life. Take away the fact that he was seen by many witnesses, then that means that you and I are complete and utter idiots. Because you might find this hard to believe, but you're a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead today. It's not just those people who were alive at the time. You are a witness today that Jesus is risen from the dead. Or if we take away, there is salvation for whosoever will confess their sin, repent, and trust in Jesus, you don't have a gospel. Abandon this or any of these truths, and we no longer have God's gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus. This is the gospel that Paul preached, and this is the gospel we believe in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, but if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And I've said an accursed thing is something detested by God and devoted to destruction. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is as essential towards salvation as his death on the cross is. Now, I want you to listen carefully this morning. Our sun will swell. Our galaxy will collide with its neighbor, and the universe could suddenly be swallowed by a vacuum bubble. Hear that again. Our sun will swell. Our galaxy will collide with its neighbor, and the universe could suddenly be swallowed by a vacuum bubble. Well, this description was given in the June 2016 edition of the New Scientist magazine entitled Your Explosive Guide to the End of the Universe. Your Explosive Guide to the End of the Universe. Our sun will swell, our galaxy will collide with its neighbor, and the universe could suddenly be swallowed by a vacuum bubble. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will be the end. Well, according to some scientists, we started with a big bang. Hey, we may as well go out with one. But imagine for a moment that death was the end of all things. I want you to think about this, because Christians say they know that what they believe and they know in whom they believe. But I'm asking you this morning to think about this. What if death was the end of all things? As soon as you kick the bucket, as soon as you're about to start pushing up the daisies, that was it, party over. As soon as you breathe your last and hit the deck like a sack of spuds, there's nothing else. Some people foolishly believe this, just as others foolishly believe the New Scientist description of the end of the universe. I wonder how many people, when they heard me reading about the end of the universe and your explosive guide to the end of the universe, how many people sat this morning or listened this morning on Facebook or the podcast and said, what a load of old nonsense, because they know it's foolish. And yet people will also say it's foolish to believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, or that it's foolish to believe that death is not the end of all things. We live, we die. Perhaps if people really believed death was the end of all things, then we would live very differently. So let me ask you this morning, don't answer. How would you live if you truly believed that death is the ultimate end? Pop your clogs, there's nothing after that. How would you live if you truly believed death is the ultimate end? If you believed there is nothing after death, there is no afterlife, there is no heaven or hell. Well, many people believe Christians are the real fools. Do you hear that? Many people believe that we who are gathered here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship, who know and love the Lord this morning, many people believe that Christians are the real fools for believing in an afterlife, for believing in the resurrection of the dead and in heaven and hell. But let me ask you this morning, are we really fools? Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church, who started to believe the false teachings that had crept into the church that there is no resurrection from the dead. Now listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 51. Paul says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." This is something that we will not fully understand. This is something that we cannot at this time fully understand. It is a mystery, and only God can reveal mysteries to us. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that means die, "but we shall all be changed." You hear that? "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory," pardon me, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul tells the Corinthians, not every Christian will die. Now let me just tell you something here. We talk about Shiloh Christian Fellowship, about the imminent return of Jesus. Some of us actually believe in the imminent return of Jesus. We believe that Jesus may very well return in our lifetime. And Paul is writing here 2,000 years ago, just over slightly, 2,000 years ago, less than that rather, he's telling the Christians in Corinth, not every Christian will die. But he says every Christian will suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, every Christian will be changed. He tells us that those who have died, and this is a wonderful hope, this is the hope of the Christian, those who have died will suddenly be raised up. Now we know that when a Christian dies, they are absent from the body and they are present with the Lord. But what he's telling us here in this passage is that those who have died will suddenly be given new resurrected bodies. Resurrected, incorruptible, and those who are alive shall also in that moment be changed. Now this is way over the top of our heads type of stuff. This is incredible. This should just blow our minds. Yet this is what the Word of God says. Those Christians who have died will suddenly be raised up. They will be given, because we know they're already with the Lord. So this is talking about the new resurrection body that they will be given. They will be raised up, resurrected, incorruptible, and those alive shall also be changed. If you're alive at the time that this happens, like that, you will just be caught up in the air in a new resurrected body, the same body that Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. You will have that incorruptible body in an instant. In an instant, you shall be changed. The Christian's old corruptible body will be no more as they are clothed in their new immortal body. And when this happens, the scripture shall be fulfilled, which declares, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Now, which do you think this morning, sorry, I have a bit of a sore throat. Which do you think requires more faith to believe? The new scientist explosive guide to the end of the universe, or the Word of God, which says there is a day of resurrection for all people, some to eternal life with the Lord, while others to eternal separation from God in hell? Are you foolish to believe either? Do you think whichever of these you believe, or neither, do you think it affects how you live? Well, we've been looking, as you know, at our statement of faith and the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I've made clear This is what Shiloh believes. If you do not believe in the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you're in the wrong church. Go somewhere else where you want your ears tickled, where you want to believe any old nonsense that preachers will preach. In Shiloh Christian Fellowship, we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Any born-again Christian wanting to become a member of Shiloh must accept this doctrine and adhere to it as part of our fundamental beliefs. In these days, when the Word of God is under attack like never before, the greatest assault upon it happening within the church, Christians must understand that this truth, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, is fundamental. It is essential for salvation. If we foolishly abandon this truth or any other fundamental doctrine as taught in God's word, we no longer have God's gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus, and we will be guilty of either preaching or believing a false gospel. And if we are preaching a false gospel, people are going to reap a false salvation. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is essential for salvation, as his death on the cross is. Turn over a page back the way, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 12. Paul, obviously, writing verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he says these words: "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." Do you understand this morning what's being said here? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then even Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. Okay? Verse 14, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses, liars of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise." He's driving home this truth. "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith, Christian, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep," the dafties, the daft Christians who have died believing in the resurrection, what he's saying is they're daft because they too will perish. "Then also," verse 18, "then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ," those Christians who have died believing in a resurrection, "have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." As the false teaching began to permeate the Corinthian church, Paul wrote to remind them of the gospel which he preached and which they believed, and it included the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This truth was at the heart of the gospel which Paul proclaimed. It absolutely had to be, and it has to be at the heart of the gospel that is proclaimed in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. And it has to be at the heart of the gospel that you proclaim with people over a cup of coffee or whatever when you're talking to people about Jesus. It has to be in there. Because without it, there is actually no point whatsoever in believing the gospel. Without the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there is no point in believing the gospel, and there is no hope whatsoever in Christianity, and there is no hope whatsoever in being a Christian. Go out and party away there. Go out and spend your life whatever way you choose to live your life. If there is no bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you are wasting your time and wasting your life. But the reason this truth is at the very heart of Paul's preaching is because through the bodily resurrection, through the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, mankind's greatest enemies are defeated. Firstly, Satan, who Jesus himself said is the father of lies. Satan has lied to people for generations, lulling them into a false sense of security with regard to death and there is no afterlife. He has led people over generations to believe that there is no heaven and there is no hell. He is a liar and he has been the father of lies from the beginning. He is telling people, he is convincing people right now who are listening to the podcast, right now who are watching on Facebook, maybe even in here this morning, he is telling people there is no afterlife. There is nothing to worry about. Go on and live your life and do as you please. There is no God that you have to give account to. There is never going to be a resurrection from the dead because there's nothing. Once you're dead, you're dead. He is a liar. Satan is a liar. And Jesus, by his death and his resurrection, defeated him. Death is not the end, as some foolishly believe. It isn't the climax of a person's life. But Satan holds people captive within his reign of sin. And he who holds them captive within his reign of sin has been defeated by Jesus by his death and resurrection. Death is not the end for mankind. And the reason the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead was at the heart of Paul's preaching is because through the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, these three enemies, Satan, sin, and death, are defeated. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, you may believe the lies of Satan, but let me tell you now, Satan is a defeated enemy. Secondly, by his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus has once and for all dealt with the problem of sin. We have three enemies: Satan, sin, and death. They all need to be dealt with. Satan is a defeated foe. By his sacrificial death on the cross for our sin, Jesus has once and for all dealt with the problem of sin. All mankind are sinners. We have all sinned against the Lord and we all deserve death and hell. But by his death and bodily resurrection from the dead, Jesus has dealt with sin once and for all. Jesus has paid in full, tetelestai, Jesus has paid in full the debt for our sin. God does not require a debt for sin from those who put their trust in Jesus. It is paid in full. That debt has been dealt with. That enemy has been overcome. The third reason the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead was at the heart of Paul's preaching is because through the death and the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, Jesus has conquered the grave, thus solving the problem of death. Three enemies: Satan, sin, and death. And people like you and I had no power and no authority over any of them. These three greatest enemies of mankind had to be dealt with. And through the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, he has overcome all of them. He has defeated all of them. Jesus has conquered the grave, thus solving the problem of death. Because of Jesus, through his death and bodily resurrection from the dead, mankind's three greatest enemies in life, Satan, sin, and death, have been defeated. Not will be defeated. Have been defeated. So Christian, listen this morning. You don't have to believe the lies of Satan anymore. God does not require of you a debt for your sin. And death is not the end. Because Jesus promises you that if you believe in me, even though you die, yet shall you live. And even better, and I hope I'm around at the time, that when Jesus returns, you don't even have to die. You're just going on up there like Enoch in a moment, caught up to be with the Lord forever. How wonderful. Jesus, by his death and bodily resurrection from the dead, has defeated mankind's three greatest enemies, Satan, sin, and death. So Christian, the simple gospel that was preached to us, in which we believed, so that we have been born again by the Spirit of God, this same simple gospel must continue to be proclaimed. And within God's good news is the fundamental truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We cannot allow this truth to be diluted or compromised. To do so would be to preach a different gospel than that which the Word of God teaches. Imagine for a moment that I hit the deck like a sack of spuds and the party was over and I had gone to be with the Lord. I wonder how many of us, within a short period of time, when someone else comes to take over, I wonder how many of us would be alert enough to know if the false teaching was creeping into the church. Would you be alert enough to know if someone started to say there is no bodily resurrection from the dead? That is the point of what we're trying to present, that Christians not only know in whom they have believed, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they know what they believe. We cannot allow this truth to be diluted or compromised. To do so would be to preach a different gospel than that which the Word of God teaches. So I would say to you this morning, Christian, hold fast to this truth, because in it and through it we have victory over our three greatest enemies, Satan, sin, and death, and it's all because of Jesus. Now maybe this morning there's someone here or someone watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. But let me just say to you that while you remain outside of Christ, while you are not a Christian, do you realize that you remain captive to the three greatest enemies in life? Satan, sin, and death hold you within their power, and they will lead to your destruction. They will lead to you ending up in hell unless you do something about it. The only resurrection that you will experience outside of Christ is a resurrection to eternal separation from God in hell. But because of God's good news, because of the gospel of his son Jesus, there is hope for you. The Bible says if you will confess your sin, if you will agree with God that you are a sinner, if you will repent of your sin, turn around, turn away from your sin, if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved. Are we foolish to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Would we be better to give up our belief and go out and party hard because there's no life after death? Or should we sit back and wait for the sun to swell, our galaxy to collide with its neighbor, and the universe to suddenly be swallowed up in a vacuum bubble? I just want to make it clear. I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that although we know Satan, Lord God, continues to exist, and he is the father of lies, and he continues, Lord God, to spread his lies, deceiving people, Lord God, about life after death and the need to prepare for eternity. Father, thank you that we know because of the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead that Satan is a defeated foe. Hallelujah that Jesus has given us the victory. Lord, thank you that for those who are in Christ, we know that all of our sins have been forgiven, that you require no debt from us for our sins because Christ Jesus, your Son, has paid our debt in full. And Father, thank you that even though, Lord God, a day is coming when we may indeed have to die, Lord, thank you that even though we die, yet shall we live because of Jesus. Our three greatest enemies, Satan, sin, and death, have been defeated by the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, from the dead. And we thank you for the victory and all of the promises that we have in him. And though, Lord God, to the world we may look like fools, Lord, I'd rather be a fool for Christ's sake than believe the lies of sin. Lord, help us to spread the gospel. Help us to tell people of the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you. Amen.